speaking of the Leon County Research and Development Authority's Audit Committee, date is November the 9th, and the time is 3:03 PM. We have before us an agenda. Is there a modification to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chair, committee chair requests ratification of disapproval and execution of the two-year engagement letter consistent with the two-year extension that was granted in the First Amendment to the Auditing Services Agreement dated March 23rd, 2020.
Okay, that item will be added to the agenda, and we'll deal with it in just a moment. First, let me ask if there's any public, well, do I need a motion to, I guess, to amend the agenda?
Sure.
So is there, would you accept the proposed amendment to the agenda? There isn't a second. Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The like sign, motion carries. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, you have received a copy of the March 12th, 2020 minutes of the last audit committee meeting. That meeting was held with the auditors as they were completing their work and reporting to us. We had a very good unmodified opinion provided to us. We expect that we're looking forward to receiving that again, but we have to earn it. If you have had a chance to look at the minutes and someone wants to offer a motion, I'll be glad to accept it. The chair has reviewed them. It do appear that the chair would be accurate and complete. There's a motion. Is there a second? And a second. Those in favor of approving the minutes of the March 12th meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the like sign. We are required annually by our own charter to review the content of the charter. We've made a few revisions here and there through the years, but this is pretty much the way it was originally presented. But do you see anything in there that you would question, want more clarification on, alter, amend, delete, add, etc., to the provisions of the charter? Okay, hearing none, then the charter will stand reviewed and approved. Well, not approved, but just reviewed with no comments necessary. All right, let's slip this piece in right now that you had that you wanted to discuss.
Yes, this was sent to y'all as a supplement to the agenda packet, and that was the auditor's two-year engagement letter. If you recall, last year we extended the agreement, last March, March 23rd, which sounds like it was an important date in history. But anyway, we extended that agreement, so this engagement letter just provides more detail to the, what happened in the engagement, but it is consistent with the contract extension, and there is language in the engagement letter that stipulates that if there's any difference between the engagement letter and the contract prevails. So that is all.
Okay. You've heard that discussion. We went ahead and prepared that letter, hoping it would be with everyone's approval here, as well as the executive committee and or the board that goes that far. But would you go ahead and move to ratify the presentation or presentment of that letter?
Second.
Okay, motion made, seconded. That has been ratified.
We get a call for the, just in case, because we got keys up there, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Those in favor of the ratification, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the like sign. Thank you. And just,
he's just a wave or something that we need to.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got so big on Peggy, but him.
That's because there's more people on the screen.
Okay, all right. I'm good. I'm glad to see Peggy over there with her background behind her. Yeah. All right, Allison, good afternoon.
You're on here today.
That's the phrase of the year. You're self-heated. You're here again. We've all heard it, Allison. We know it. Every one of us.
I,
Yes, no, can you guys hear me now? It wouldn't allow me to unmute myself. I think Ron or Peggy had to unmute me.
How are you, ma'am? You're muted again.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I can hear you guys pretty well, but I just want to make sure that you're turning over the discussion to me for the audit planning discussions, item number 6 on the agenda.
Correct.
Okay. So we had no prior audit issues, and that's the first line there under item number 6. So really no items to be resolved. And the audit schedule, there is a schedule that is included in the meeting packet that both Ron Lee Jenkins, the senior manager on the engagement, and myself have agreed to as far as timing and reporting. We all know that a lot of the reporting is due to the state of Florida and the release of the information regarding the pension plan. I will open it up to the committee and staff to make us aware if there are any changes in operations or procedures. We are aware that most entities have had some changes in procedures due to the pandemic and are getting understandings of any of those temporary changes during the quarantine period during our audit process. But is there anything else as far as changes in operations or procedures that we need to know about?
Let me start with Christy. And Christy, would you respond? And I'll call on Ron to respond.
There is no change in any procedures.
Okay, Ron?
Yeah, so the only thing we've done procedurally is we did create the investment controls policy, but that policy pretty much just puts in writing what we were doing before and brings together the information that was already included in the investment policy. So it's just a little more formality around all of the investment procedures. So, but that's been documented and it's been provided to the auditors. Actually, it was provided to the auditors at the time that we did it to make sure they were aware of it. So other than that, I don't believe that anything that that's happened as it relates to COVID has had any substantive effect on our own accounting controls and procedures. I think for the most part, we're handling everything as we were before from that standpoint. Everything's being approved the same as it was before. We're doing everything remotely, but because we were working in a two office environment anyway, we were already doing it. So like a lot of things electronically. So it's, to the extent that I'm aware of it, I'm not aware of what's happening within Calcor. That might be different, but in terms of our interactions, it's pretty much the same as it was.
Okay, any board member, any audit committee member care to comment?
Just to clarify, that was going to be my question. So just to understand, Allison, your question, I'm assuming there's some businesses, some organizations that may have had to move to online, to doing things more virtually on their accounting system, but because we already did that with Calcor, there wasn't as many changes for us. Is that what I'm hearing? Or the type of changes that you were asking about? That's what I'm questioning.
Those are the majority of the changes that we're seeing is that, people that were still issuing and signing, hard checks, and they were not doing that since they were not going into their offices. Other changes we've been seeing with entities is, before where you may have had two people open the mail, then that's not possible since social distancing and not wanting two people in the office at the same time opening the mail. So those are some of the changes that we've just seen in other entities, but mostly everything between NAI, Talcor, and the authority was already electronic. So I didn't expect that there would be too many changes, if any.
I anticipated that too. I wanted to clarify and make sure that that was the type of changes you were looking at. So that's good. One less thing.
We are still signing checks manually, but instead of me going to South Florida, somebody's courier is it to me. So that's not the extent.
All right. Good.
Okay. Is there any other items or large issues that may have happened during the year that we need to be aware of prior to the start of the audit so that we can adjust any of our procedures?
Ron, do we need to discuss at this point the grant?
Well, I think that would definitely be a subsequent event, but I don't know what impact it's going to have at this point. I haven't really thought about in terms of presentation or, it's a big number, but at this point, the agreement was executed. So yes, there's a contract. It's probably something worth putting in a footnote. But beyond that, I'm not aware of anything substantive that would have to be disclosed beyond that.
And Allison, you're aware of what we're speaking of?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I get all the great emails.
Okay. All right. Any other issues relative to the planning discussion? All right,
not
the last. Go ahead.
I said not from my standpoint.
All right. We have proposed a audit schedule. If you have the handout, that's the last page of your document. It begins October 1, supposedly, and runs all the way to February the 22nd. Allison, have you had a chance to review that, and does that meet with your expectations?
Yes, that was signed by Lee Jenkins from our office. She prepared that and sent that over to Ron, and also communicated with Christy to make sure that everything, that everyone, every party agreed with this timeline. So there are no issues.
All right, good, good. Christy, you comfortable with this as well?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Well, the biggest variable in this is the state auditor, the state retirement plan report data that we have to get. I've lost track of the gap, and we did have that committed to memory, but yeah, 68. You know, again, we're at the state's mercy on when they produce that information, but I think it's scheduled to come out in the middle of July. So as soon as we get that, we'll have to move quickly to get it done so we can get it through our process. But that February 22nd date gives us that week to put an audit committee meeting together to review the final information and then get it through the executive committee process and then to the board at the beginning of April. So we've got a little flexibility in there, but in terms of their schedule, making sure that they get all their stuff done before we have to do all of our meeting processes. That was sort of the end date we were looking at. Obviously, if anything happens with the state, we may have to adjust that. And then I think my biggest question, Allison, was, you know, maybe making it clear to the committee what the audit process is going to look like with COVID and you know, what you guys are going to have to do differently than what you've done in the past.
So yes, with COVID, some of it has changed in that we are trying not to go on site as much as possible. And we are asking for all records to be electronically uploaded to us when possible. But again, that's been, you know, an issue for some clients, and we do make arrangements to go on site, especially if there's just voluminous paper that needs to be scanned in. We will go on site and make arrangements for that. So I will leave that to Lee and Christy to discuss, but we will, for the most part, be auditing remotely.
And I'll chime in and just say that I've seen the electronic platform that they're using now, the web-based platform for collecting data, and I love it. It's awesome. It's very easy to keep track of what information we have to provide. It's easy to upload and see what's been done. We were using the spreadsheet before, and you know, it wasn't always up to date. So it's, I really like what you guys have done. It's great.
Good. Yes, we did that just in time for the pandemic.
Other comments by anyone in the meeting? Okay, we will accept the proposed audit schedule. Seems like all thumbs are up that we can do this. And we'll give you, Allison, and your staff to go ahead and thumbs up and let us know what you need from us. There's an item on the agenda called New Business, and I'd like to ask Ron to take a few minutes and just update this group of board members that are present on the progress we're making now toward our grant program.
So we had 30 days to sign the agreement from the award date, which was the date of the press conference, which I believe was September 17th. It took us, of course, I went on vacation in the middle of that too. Seemed like every time which I had actually scheduled for the week before the press conference, so all that changed. But, anyway, we got that done. Then we got the letter from the project manager that's been assigned that we were going to have to host a kickoff meeting with the architects and some other folks, and we haven't even procured an architect yet. So so I was able to schedule a meeting with him and we clarified the situation that we're in. I think he's used to working with larger organizations that have staff who already have all this stuff done. And so I kind of explained the background and where we're at and what our own staff capabilities are. And he understood completely. He said, go do your procurement. And then when you're ready, we'll schedule that kickoff meeting. So, but they do highly recommend that the kickoff meeting includes the architect. There's certain things that the architect has to do. We've also received
excuse me, is that kickoff meeting a public meeting?
No, because it won't include the board. So that will be something that just the staff and the participants and contractors and all that. So we've also received what they call a toolkit, which is a collection of documents for the whole process, including all the reports that we have to file and you know, the construction standards and references to the U.S. Federal regulations that we have to follow. And so there's just a lot of documents. So there's a whole PDF package that they send you electronically to follow, which is helpful, but it's a lot to get through. So we've been through at least the initial stages of that. There's some checklists and other things. Our first reports aren't due, thankfully, because they're quarterly reports, aren't due until the end of December, because we were just there at the end of September filling up the reports. We said wait till October. I have drafted a RFQ for an architect. That process will have to follow state statute and also coordinate with the federal regulations as well as the EA construction standards. And I've been working with Mary Jo Specter from FSU's facilities, who does the design work, I believe, for the research facilities at FSU. And we've worked with her before. She also served on the Jumpstart Committee, if you all recall that, where we were taking an early look at converting this space to an incubator. So she's very familiar with what we're doing, and she's helping me with making sure that we scope the project or the RFQ correctly. But following state statute, we have to do a qualifications-based procurement for the architect, which means we go get our top three selections for an architect through an evaluation committee. And then we negotiate with our top choice. We'll have to set what we think is the appropriate price, and if we can come to agreement on what that price is, then we will do a contract with them and bring that back to the executive committee for their review and approval and move through our core process. So you're looking at February, the February board meeting, first week of February, before we can get the architect procured. In the meantime, we will be working on the space planning process so that when we do have an architect, we've already sort of understood exactly what it is that we want and need. And then we'll have something to present to the architect without having to wait for them, you know, wait for that whole process to evolve. So we're going to do as much work as we can during this interim. We only have 18 months from September 17th to start construction. So it's not a lot of time. I believe that puts us into March of 2022. So, you know, by the time we have an architect, we're going to have about 12, 13 months to break ground. So, it's going to be a hectic process, and as I tried to tell Kim, we need to stay focused because we cannot afford to drop the ball on this. We have a lot of other things that are going to have to move along with it, and one of those things is looking at the operating funds that we talked about with FAMU. You know, what can we get there? We need to go out and start making arrangements to get equipment for the facility. We need to do all of the marketing communications that have to happen so that we can start recruiting companies. So there's a lot of work that has to be done, and we need to make sure we focus on the two, as Dave said, item 1A and 1B of our strategic plan, which is the incubator and funding and sustainability. So I know there's a lot of other things we want to get done, but I'd hate for us to make it this far and get our sights set on the wrong things and not being able to accomplish those things. Michael's going to continue to work on building the programs and building demand for the incubator. We're talking about how we're going to do that. We're looking at how we can take the tech grant program and the EDP program and put them together so that companies go through our own education program. We can get the best potential companies and technologies going through that program and get them prepared to submit the best possible commercialization plan to the tech grant program, that we can then fund them so that they can move into our incubation programs and we can help them be successful. In the past, we just said, okay, we're going to educate you. Great. You're educated. Go off into the world. We had the tech grant program, which said, we're going to give you money. Have at it. Go off into the world. Now we're going to be able to help manage that process from end to end, and that's what Michael's going to be working on as we move through this, you know, process of constructing the building. Michael's also going to help, obviously, with the space planning and, you know, making sure we're building the right things. But that's just a huge part. We can't just build a building and then decide it's time to. We see what happened with this building, and it wasn't anything that was wrong with our process. It didn't, COVID didn't help us any, but you can't just build it and hope they'll come. So we're going to take that process very seriously and keep moving on that. Naomi is going to be an integral part of that, helping us with getting the word out, messaging. And she's done a pretty good starting with that. She's really good with social media. She's doing that. We're trying to make sure she's staying on the traditional media as well. I don't know if you follow us. We did a thing with WFSU.
Great job.
Perspectives, thank you. I thought that went pretty well too. I did an interview with WCTV. I don't know that actually aired, but it was a great chance to meet the new weekend anchor. Not CTV, but KXL. Anyway, they have a Saturday morning program, and we've got in the works to go be on that program on a Saturday morning in Midway. So, you know, we're working on all those pieces and parts, and it's coming together. But again, the objective is to stay focused and realize that we have limited staff and abilities, and we've got to get this process rolling. And as much stuff in the pipeline that we haven't been able to do until we got the green light. Now that we got the green light, we just got to rock and roll and just keep moving and plugging away at that. Because, like I said, the last thing we can afford to do is drop the ball and not hit those two deadlines that we have. Which is 18 months to break ground, and 30 months after that, complete the building. And hopefully quicker than that, complete the building. But I don't see us breaking ground before about 18 months. But, you know, obviously, if that construction can be expedited, we'll see what we can do with that, but that's kind of where we're at.
Questions? Comments?
Ron, have we had anybody reach to us, like corporations or anything that congratulate us or interested?
Oh, they've come out of the woodwork, yes.
Are they really?
Yeah. Well, and then I have to tell them, but I can't really talk to you about this because, you know, the public is feeling that you can't. I mean, I've had conversations about general concepts and stuff like that, but once they're involved in anything like helping me develop a scope award for an RFQ, they're eliminated from being able to bid on. So I try to maintain the distance from any of these, but.
How about the users? Has anybody?
Oh, in terms of music, I'm talking about.
Corporations said, congratulations, we'd love to. Anything like that? Or?
Those are probably not the ones that we're going to attract. We're looking for early stage, early stage companies. Mostly the ones that we've been working with that said, you know, please, you want this. I can't heard from them. I did a presentation to the chamber, not the chamber, I'm sorry, OED and their stakeholders group. And I've been presenting to the chamber's growth committee, growth business committee. But with OED stakeholder group, they also had Eric Draven, who's our tenant in the lab, and Jason Robotham, who's on our board, who has his company in one of your facilities. And they both presented before me, and it was nice for them to talk about what they wish they had had, and then they had me talk about what we're building. So, they're there, but it's still pie in the sky. You know, when you're looking that far out, these companies, they're like, hey, I'm doing this today. What can you do for me today? And that's Michael's job. Michael's job is to help them today and keep them moving through the process. You know, his program, and Tom, you have been around for this, but Michael's strength is a program called SBIR, CPR, which is federal funding. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the program?
I've heard you speak about it.
But. Yeah, so the idea there for us is to help these companies get those big dollars. And then they've got resources to be successful and also to pay us, you know, in the innovation program. So we're going to help them fund themselves to help us. Okay, so it's, you know, that's kind of the mentality that we're taking with this. And you know, it's not totally selfless, but we need some sources of revenue, and so do businesses, so it just kind of works together. And it's a long runway to get those funds. As Eric knows, you know, you don't just apply today and you got it. And there's also, you know, a couple of phases to go through to get, you know, the serious dollars. And so that's what Michael's working on.
Thank you.
Very, very exciting times right now. Ron is going to really, really be struggling with workloads and calendars and schedules and staying on track. And also, as much as we can, we will try to not throw new stuff at him and let him kind of keep going, except for funding. We'll still go funding opportunities.
And we'll still have, we're still going to have the other stuff.
Sure.
We still have buildings, you know, we still have public meetings, we still have all those things to do, and the stuff it takes to just run the organization. And, oh, by the way, the other organization we have now, which is the Innovation Park PLA nonprofit, getting our nonprofit approval from the IRS is right at the top of the list, too. So, we've got.
Have we filed for that?
We have not. We have until May.
So what is,
yeah. So, part of the biggest hang up with that, and I've worked on it, trust me, the challenge is you've got to set it up. If it was just a standalone, it'd be easy. Okay. The problem is the relationship between LCRDA and IPPLA, that's the short name for it. Because there's going to be leasing between the two, because there's going to be employee leasing between the two, as well as facility leasing, you have to make sure that you hit the requirements for the nonprofit status and the sources of revenue to make sure that it stays qualified as a nonprofit. I'm trying to understand that and to have the right documentation in place. It's taken a lot more to get my head around than what I thought it was going to take. and I haven't had enough bandwidth to sit down and really get my head around all the pieces and parts. I have talked to Allison about, once I have that application ready to go, is to run it by them and make sure that we have the I's and cross the T's. She's willing to do that under a separate arrangement, obviously, from our audit arrangement. But and then the one thing I didn't mention as it relates to the EEA grant is that we will have to have a single audit, correct, Allison? You know, $10.2 million. So there'll be a separate audit related to the federal funding. So we're going to have to talk about that. Is that something that we should maybe plan on for the February audit committee meeting?
We can definitely discuss it. So the threshold is $750,000 in expenditures, which sounds like you will reach that for the fiscal year 2021. And it's not a separate audit necessarily. It's just another level of auditing in conjunction with your financial statement audit for compliance and grant testing and allowability.
Okay. So we don't have, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to spend this year because we won't break ground until March of 2022. Most of the expenditures are going to be related to the architect, but the budget for the architect in total is about $1.5 million. But that includes inspections and other things that probably aren't going to happen until construction starts. So we'll probably be over the $750,000 this fiscal year, but I'm not positive about that.
But Ron, it seems like I like the idea of talking about this, excuse me, Mr. Chair, in February, just
absolutely.
In case you hit that threshold, but even preparing, you know, there's so much compliance, as you said. I mean, just having some of this worked out ahead of time seems like it would be helpful for you and
thousands
of
Yeah, I mean, even if it's not then, at least we have a sense of, you know, what we're looking forward to the next year.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else on the committee or on the program?
Other question. Has anything recently or historically been done relative to site evaluation? Seems like there were some issues related to artifacts or something in the area. Is that all cleared up? That's something that could really stop or slow down construction starts and so forth. We know that.
Yeah, actually all of that came up as a result of our application because the feds require you to go through that screening process at the beginning because they don't want that to be a hiccup. So we did. The preliminary review found some, first there were records of artifacts being found there, if you recall, with the display in our lobby of the old building. They had found stuff over on that cul-de-sac when they were putting the cul-de-sac in. It caused them to have to go and do additional investigation. And thanks to Kristen, who had made a comment to somebody from the Southeast Archaeological Center at National Park Service, one of our tenants, we found out that they actually do that work, and they did it. They do it for free for state and local government.
And they were thrilled.
They came out and they did some grand penetrating radar and some other studies. And basically, what they came up with was nothing older than some beer bottles from the 1970s around the pond where they used to party a lot there.
So, as part of that, did they do any geotech work? And those really. Or is there a sinkhole under there somewhere?
No, that geotech has not been done. And that's something that will have to be done as part of this. That is a big question. And obviously, if we run into geotech issues, that's going to be a major change if we have to shift sites. Obviously, we have the 10 acres that we could look at. The 10 acres that used to be Sunnyland Solar. If we had to move, you know, figure out how to carve out the 3.5 on the other side of the pond, perhaps at the other side of the cul-de-sac, if that's any better, I don't know. But we won't know until we get there. That's the challenge. I mean, I mean, some people, when they do grants like this, they pay, sort of like you guys did with IRCB, you got some money, you did all the work, and now you're waiting for the money to build the building.
Yeah.
We didn't have that luxury to do that. So we're going to figure it out as we go.
We're done with the audit, right?
Yes.
Okay. I knew Allison and Chrissy were hanging out for that, but I just wonder if there's more questions about the process. I mean, I'm kind of content with letting you go to December for the RFQ, but there, I guess I want to give you this deference, Ron, that I think you got at least three people in here, four, who will ask questions about exactly what you're talking about, Eric, you know, the geotech, other things like that. And if my gut feeling is right, we're all thinking, wow, this timeline is really extraordinary. Sure. We approve an architect in February. So I'm chomping at the bit to ask a couple questions, how we can expedite that. But that's the only reason why I didn't know if we were done with
it. We have an executive committee meeting a week from, a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we have a board meeting
first of December.
Okay. So my thought was we would have conversations at both of those meetings.
Okay.
And that part of that conversation will be what sort of committee should we have? Do we have a subcommittee that's strictly for the incubator? I want to be careful about how we structure that so that it isn't overly burdensome in terms of time, that it's meaningful for y'all, that it's something that you really, but I don't want to have everything have to go through a committee. I think we've done a lot with Jumpstart, but I think it's time, we got to move. But to the extent that we can have a committee who can help actually do some stuff, absolutely, I would love to have that.
That's where my mind goes right now. Can we expedite decisions? I mean, if you need a board decision, could be expedited by going through exec or a committee versus the board, since we're only meeting every 2 months? Could we get a permit for site work before? There's a whole host of questions there of how we could expedite it, but I don't want to
bring
that today.
Yeah, and that's
coming in the future.
Yeah, and that's a question of whether the executive committee, the executive committee is already empowered to make those decisions. If we had to have a meeting, we could. Now, it just so happens that I'm not quite done with that RFQ, so the timing to get it to the executive meeting just happened to work out.
Okay.
If I had been ready sooner, I would have gone to the executive committee sooner to get it done. And I'm not waiting beyond the executive committee to publish the RFQ.
Perfect.
We'll have the board ratify the executive committee decision, but I would not expect that the board is going to object.
Excuse Allison and Christy if they'd like to. The items relative to the agenda have been covered. If you guys, you're welcome to stay and listen, but if you'd like to slip off, that's fine. I don't anticipate we'll be much longer, but these are some general questions that some of the board members just have of staff. Okay, Chris, any more questions, comments?
I think we're getting, and I'm not surprised. Ron, you're already thinking about this. Just, I will reiterate that when I hear we're going to award, identify our architects in February, and we got to break ground 13 months later.
Yeah.
I start thinking about pre-submittal conversations with the city, making sure we expedite the permitting process. We're under a HUD, the city is working hand in hand. I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult, but making sure that we have those conversations early. And I say that also because I know some folks, private sector folks, have had challenges permitting lab space or other unique types of spaces. I don't think that's going to be our problem, but yeah, that's,
okay, no, that's great. That's absolutely helpful. Yeah. And I wish, and that February timeline is cramming everything in the process as tight as I can make it, and working around Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays.
I'm not questioning your schedule. I think you are moving as quickly as possible, and I don't think the feds are going to change the schedule just because we have a procurement process that somebody else, maybe a TCC or someone doesn't have. You know, know, with board meetings and things
yeah,
like that.
But the feds have a, they have a requirement in their requirements that says we're required to follow our own requirements.
There you go.
Robert, yeah. are you in the RFQ for the architect? Are you just the architect going to hire the engineer that does the site
planning? Yeah, that's, those are the questions I just put to Mayor Dispector is to make sure that I scope this correctly. That's kind of where I'm stuck right now. Two things. One is making sure the RFQ includes as much specifics about the Fed requirements as possible so that the architects know going in when they're going to put the dollars to it that they know it's a federal project. And oh, by the way, here's all the stuff that I've been. Well, and the other part of that is making sure that my RFQ procures according to the federal requirements, because if I don't do it correctly, then we have to start over. Anyways, we don't want to do it. But then the scope, and then making sure that the scope includes, because of the way the feds make you break out the budget, so if I've got $1,560,000 in the budget for architectural, what all is in that? So I've had that conversation with the project manager, and it's pretty much everything, because there's not a separate line item for engineering. There's a separate amount for permits. That number also includes inspections. And so I got a little more detail on that from the project manager, but the conversation I'm having with Mary Jo is to make sure that to the extent that I can get the architect to be responsible for subcontracting all of the engineering work, mm-hmm. and frankly, surveying, then I want to make sure that scope is as tight as can be, because what I don't want somebody to do is come back later and say, sorry, that wasn't included in the scope.
But for the most part, the private sector hires that site planner and hires the architect. And if that's the way you get some of that preliminary work done early. But I'm sure that we just need to put real tight time frames on that stuff in the architectural queue.
Yeah.
If they see what that's about. You do your, you know, you do your survey, you do your geotech, you do stormwater, you do all the things you gotta pull up with that here and get.
And if I could do it differently, I would, but I mean, this is basically a, you know, design bid build, and but at the same time, I'd have a hard time managing all those different things. But an architect, if I say you're responsible,
we're paying you to do it,
and your contract, you know how the flow is supposed to work, and oh, by the way, your deadline is to break ground by this date, and you must do everything to make sure that happens. And if I can put it on them to do that.
I'd even suggest thinking about timelines for them in the middle. Surveys must be done by such and such a day. It's a, because you are, that's a short window.
Yeah, part of what we'll do in the negotiation process is the schedule. The schedule is going to be a big part of that. So okay. We'll make sure that's part of what they have to submit to us. And one of the reasons I'm pushing as tight as I can on the procurement process with the evaluation committee is I want to get that evaluation committee done early January, so I've got 30 days roughly
to hire somebody.
Do the price negotiation, the contract negotiation, and the schedule to make sure that those three things can happen the way they need to. And I got to do it quickly so that if it doesn't work with the first one, I can go to the second one. So.
And part of that, I'm sorry, Thompson, part of that process, because of the qualification days, the negotiation, so we sometimes you would develop a schedule after you hire. I mean, you settle and you pick someone, and then you do that. So we will, I would think, be able to hit the ground running the moment the board approves the negotiation that you've done with.
Yeah. But I can't even ask for the schedule most likely until after we rank the top three and start the negotiation, because the others aren't going to do it on something until we get to that stage. And things that I want typically.
I'm just saying between evaluation and the board, or during the negotiation phase, before we get to the board meeting, when we have the board meeting, you'll have the schedule.
Yeah.
You'll have those things, and then we can hit the ground running immediately after that.
That's the plan. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I like your approach. I like, you know, I think this is as fast as we can make it, but we're a public entity, working with other public entities on permitting and things like that, and the work that we can do on that part to really get any pre-approvals, to get any work done, even expedited once it gets there. I think we should have all of those asks on the table. And let's not forget, we have two other public entities that have put in money. I mean, OEB has, FSU has. So I think this is in the city county best interest to help us meet these deadlines.
Okay. All right. My other comments. Yes, what is the closest building in physical proximity to the site? I'm just wondering if you can get maybe a little bit of a heads up as to what you might be dealing with based on if they had to deal with in constructing that building.
It's your IT building.
Which is the closest building to the site that you want to construct?
Oh, in terms of are there any geotech issues or anything?
Yeah, anything. Because probably you're not going to ask. But if they did, it'd be nice to know.
It was built by somebody else.
Do we know who owns it?
Well, FSU owns it now, they bought it from Elbit.
Elbit Industries sold it to. Okay, Aaron. So maybe it's something Mary Jo could look into a little bit to see if there's any.
Are there public records of any of that?
You should be able to find the permit records and for the site plans, the environmental, for all of that, they should have records. I don't know. That building was built early 2000s, I think. So it is something that Mary Jo could look at. When I've gone online, I'm sure you've got the same experience. I mean, it's hit or miss on what reports you can find. But not a bad question to start asking about Elbit. I mean, the ninth building might actually be the closest, or actually, on the other side, the virtual school.
Or virtual campus.
I might know the contractor who built that building.
Do we know if there are known geotech issues out here?
Yes, there are.
And is it?
Some places. FSU owns a couple lots, pretty much kitty corner on Levy from the Mag Lab. There's like Swiss cheese.
So it's
harsh features.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't build on it.
You got to do it your lab. Yeah.
You're talking to a geologist. The banker geologist.
Sanjoy, anything you care to add?
Who?
Sanjoy Keith?
Yeah.
Nope.
Sanjoy.
That's not Sanjoy, that's Keith. Keith!
Yes.
Anything you care to add?
The mask is over there.
No.
All right, are there further discussions? Hearing none, we will then assemble again on February the 8th unless notified differently.
Well, we have not scheduled that yet. We'll be in touch. That's the general time. I don't know if it's the 8th or the 22nd, but whatever we had for the scheduled meeting, I think it was the 22nd, wasn't it?
We have not said it yet.
Yeah,
that's the delivery of the draft audit report. I don't know what it considered the delivery.
An item in there specifically for the 4A meeting.
Yeah, all right. But all right, then we will inform you as to the date of the meeting.
Okay.
All right. At this point in time, Chair, be glad to receive motion to adjourn. And motion is made, seconded, no further discussion. We are adjourned.